Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We're getting ready to answer your listener questions as we do here to celebrate Hump Day. But first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. And right now, as I glance down at my iPhone, I can see that we're down to just 98 days until Marathon Weekend 2018. That's right. Time to do the double-digit dance. And more importantly, how about some double-digit runs on the weekend to get ready for Dopey? Whether you're going down to run or, like a sane person, just to have a great vacation, you can count down each and every day with Days to Go WDW. Check out all the awesome apps to turn your Apple device into a Disney device today. They're over at virtualmickey.com. Today's show also brought to you by the great travel agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. They are a platinum earmarked agency, which means Disney has recognized them for great customer service and for the amount of trips they book for their guests each and every year. And the reason they book so many trips is because their guests come back time and time again. Let's face it, they're big Disney fans. They want to go more than once, and they develop a relationship with that travel agent, and they work together to plan great vacations, make memories of a lifetime. That's what the agents do over at the Magic for Less, and they get their guests the best price each and every time, and little goodies along the way. A lot of times you can get a premium subscription to touringplans.com, Disney gift cards, even some awesome travel laundry bags, and more. So when it comes time for the next Disney trip, whether it's Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or a great Disney cruise, drop by themagicforless.com today. Fill out that free, no obligation quote. Let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. Again, themagicforless.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1229 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Do you guys just hear that in your head when I start a podcast? Because I think I've said that like 1,500 times in my life. But anyway, we're here to answer your listener questions. I'm like a robot.
You've only said it 1,200 times,
know,
by the way.
That's too many. But I love it. I love it, actually. I need to switch it up maybe. But I think my brain would explode if I said anything different at the top of the show. So anyway, we're here to answer your listener questions. Have a good time talking Disney for about the next 30 minutes, hopefully getting you through a Wednesday morning commute. Wherever you are here in the world, we're going to have a good time with some fun Disney talks. So joining me today from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and the old Mouse for Less. We have Ricky. What's up, Ricky?
Nothing really. Just, you know, living the dream. That's all I got.
Living the dream with living a brand new washing machine down in the ATL, apparently.
Let's not get started on the washing machine issues.
The joys of being a homeowner. Gotta love it.
Yes. I love Brian still, because I know he's listening. So, Brian, I still love you, even though you broke the washing machine.
All right. Also joining. Well, you know what? Hey, did this past...
I totally threw him under the bus. I'm sorry.
Let me ask you this. This past weekend, was he around the My Disney Experience system at all? Because that apparently was broken, too.
He did not break My Disney Experience. So we're good there.
Somebody did.
So should I hit that? No, don't hit that. Oh, too late. Now everybody's up in the air. Anyway, joining us also from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, we have Pam Forrester, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday, Pam.
Happy Wednesday. I'm happy to say that no one broke anything last weekend that I know of in my house. And if they did, they took care of it and had it immediately fixed before I even knew
they hit it. And they hit it. That was the thing. Brian thought he hit it, and he did not.
Well, that's what marriage is about. You still love your spouse even after they break things.
That's right.
That's the true test. Anyway, yes. So we are here to answer your listener questions. Again, send those into mike@beourguestpodcast.com. We are getting a lot lately, and we've had a lot of new subscribers. A lot of new folks find the show, and we appreciate that so much. So if you're new to the Be Our Guest podcast, welcome to the family. We do this 3 times a week, and we're so glad to have you here. And if you've been here over this journey for the last... say 9.5 years. We thank you for sticking with us. It's crazy, but we have a good time and just want to thank everybody for being a part of this awesome family. Also, at the top of the show here, I want to remind everybody, because it is fall now, even though it's still kind of hot in a lot of places. We have an awesome running squad called the VR Guest Lizards. So if you are somebody who likes to walk around the neighborhood, who likes to jog, run, even if you don't do races, I'm going to encourage you to join the VR Guest Lizards. We're just a very positive group. Everybody encourages each other. We just post our runs, our walks, our exercises, and support each other, cheer each other on. So just go to Facebook and go to VR Guest Lizards. And just click the thing that you'd like to join. We'll have you in there, and you'll be a part of a great team of over 1,250 listeners of the show who are working together, not only to run Disney races, but they run races around the country, around the world. I know we had a big contingent out in Paris at the Run Disney Paris races this past weekend. I saw Lonnie out there, a lot of other folks, and great job. Paris.
Right?
Running in Paris. Anyway, I just run through World Showcase, and that's good enough for me.
Yeah, Paris there. Same difference, right?
It's kind of the same thing. All right, anyway, so we had a question right off the top. Casey is asking in the chat here as we're live. Let's take this one right off the top. Damage reports from Hurricane Irma. Now that we're a couple weeks removed, I know people are still recovering down in Florida, and I know that so many folks down in Puerto Rico, our prayers are still with them. We got listeners in Puerto Rico. Hopefully that turns around for the better. I know it's a really rough time down there. But Ricky, I know Jungle Cruise, I think, was the last thing that finally came back from Irma. Was there anything else that's like long term with Irma?
Yeah, no, I think it was Jungle Cruise, Kilimanjaro Safaris, and Kali River Rapids. I think that were the last three things, and I think all are back up. So that's good. And I'm sure that there's probably still like a few branches and things like that maybe have been displaced and things like that. So, probably, and obviously the park that got hit the worst was Animal Kingdom because of all the foliage there. So, I think that they're in the process of getting everything back in order. You're not going to see much in the way of, it's not going to be totally noticeable. Like, you're not going to see huge trees, on their sides anymore or anything like that. You're going to be fine. But, it did take a wallop, I will say. The park did take a wallop. So.
And apparently Joanne Griffith's tree is on her curb now. So yeah. We're glad that tree is out of the way. So, all right, let's get to the questions. Tabitha's got the first one. Titles, which carriage ride? Hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam, we're counting down the days to our Disney moon starting October 16th. We did the Disney honeymoon registry and were given a carriage ride. I just don't know which one to pick. I will probably schedule it Sunday morning, October 22nd, around 9 a.m. if possible, before our breakfast at Kona. Would you recommend the one at Port Orleans or Fort Wilderness? Thanks so much. Love the show. It's been super helpful for planning tips. Keep up the great work. Tabitha's up in Spokane, Washington. First of all, Tabitha, congratulations and have a great wedding and Disney awesome. Moon right around the corner. This is like crunch time. I guarantee you right now they're like burning their fingers with like hot glue guns, putting together favors like we were melting the little Hershey miniatures with our, or whatever, M&Ms. I can't remember what we did. It was a mess, like gluing labels onto these little cans. Oh, man, it's painful that last month before a wedding. So God help you. I hope we're giving you a couple smiles as you're it was like a sweatshop in our house about this point. Anyway, so because we're trying to do everything cheap. So let's go around. Port Orleans or Fort Wilderness? Now, they are eating at Kona, so Fort Wilderness is in the proximity. But, man, I think that the setting of Port Orleans at Riverside, it is, with the horse-drawn carriages, but at night, I think, like, it's sunset. It's beautiful over there. So, Pam, what would you say for this one?
That's what I really would say. I was going to ask if there's any way you can do something in the evening because that's, I think, the best time to do one of the carriage rides. It's just, the parks come alive at night, but the resorts do as well. There's just some lighting and some cool things that you can really only see when you're enjoying the resorts at night. And I know so many people are leaving the resorts to get to the parks. To enjoy all those nighttime activities. But one of the things I think is really important is take some time to relax. And if you can squeeze in an evening to just enjoy the carriage ride at either of those locations, that would be awesome. The bonus about doing it over at Fort Wilderness in the evening is that if you time it correctly, you can also go ahead down to the boat launch and see the fireworks from afar from the Magic Kingdom. But that way you're getting an opportunity to see the fireworks and you're not in the craziness that is the fireworks. So have fun either way.
I just thought of something. I think the the horse-drawn carriage rides are only in the evenings.
That's what I was thinking.
I think the horses tend to sleep in and they don't get up till like 4 or 5. They start around dinner time is what I'm is because I run around Riverside almost every trip, and there's a sign there that has the hours right by the boats, you know, right by the main, you know, food court area and stuff. I believe they don't break them out until like 5 o'clock. 4 or 5 o'clock. I'm pretty sure horses.
That's what I think too. They're kind of prima donnas. The horses.
So Ricky, any
they
thoughts?
Have very set schedules.
They do.
Anything, Ricky?
I was gonna say Port Orleans too. But I agree with you guys. If you're gonna do something in the evening, you might want to consider, you know, Fort Wilderness. I think that probably would be the better choice in the evening too. I think Port Orleans is going to be so much prettier in the end. So, but yeah, I was thinking, I thought they only did carriage rides in the evening. So if they do them in the morning, let us know, because we all would be surprised to find that out.
I mean, I run early. Like, you know, I try to run before the sun comes up because we're down there in the summer. It's so hot. But I just don't ever, even when I go down for breakfast, like we're having a lazy pool day, I'm almost positive the carriage rides aren't until the evening. Like,
I think you're right.
Dinner time ish is when they start. Anyway, all right, let's get to the next question. It's one day in the Magic Kingdom questions. Hello, all. My family and I are taking a cruise in February, not DCL though. And the day we return to Port Canaveral is my daughter's 7th birthday. Instead of spending her birthday traveling home, we're surprising her with a day in the Magic Kingdom. This sounds like a Full House episode kind of thing.
Yeah, right?
Something like that. Get the camera ready. Here are my questions. We have been to Magic Kingdom several times, but I'm worried about how much we can accomplish with it being Princess Marathon weekend, and Magic Kingdom happens to have morning extra magic hours, and we won't get there until 10 a.m. likely. How would you navigate the park that day, and will crowds be higher due to the marathon? My daughter loves the dessert parties, so we have that booked currently.
Oh, good.
But do you think that is a time waster? I'd like to know where you recommend to stay. We stay for one night. I have Pop booked, but prefer something closer to cut down on travel time. But the monorail resorts are a bit pricey. And my last question is for Pam specifically. We live in Rochester, New York, but because it is winter break, the airfare costs were astronomical. So we decided to drive to Pittsburgh, just 300 miles away, and fly from there. So do you have any tips about this airport? How are the security lines typically? We are on a 6 p.m. nonstop to MCO and want to allow enough time to navigate this much larger airport. Thanks in advance for your help. Listen to your podcast each and every week, Carolyn. All right, let's go backwards here. So, Pam, walk Carolyn about, you know, your airport there. I mean, obviously, you're there every couple of weeks, so tips.
And we actually have one of the nicest airports in the country, and I'm not the only one who feels that way. It actually is very state-of-the-art. Love the Pittsburgh airport. The security lines aren't typically that bad. You can go ahead on the airport website to see how they are before you make the trip. We also have, there's an alternate checkpoint when things are really busy, and they will have TSA agents and other airport staff directing you to either one of those if things are really busy. So keep that in mind. There are great places to eat inside the airport, and we were actually the first airport in the country that got the special, you know, dispensation to go ahead and let people who aren't even flying go through past the security checkpoint. Of course, they have to do that register in advance, but to be able to access the restaurants and shopping available on the terminal side. I know, right? So just to give you a little heads up, there's a Iron Chef Michael Simon has a restaurant there that is past airport security. So it's called Bar Simon. You may want to give that one a try. We eat there frequently. But it's just a great place. It has some unique shopping spots. And the other great thing on Pittsburgh Airport is the guarantee that the prices in the airport shopping stores will be the same as they are in your local mall. So no getting ripped off either.
Really? Nice. You guys are so progressive there, man.
Right? And free Wi-Fi, too. I mean, we have all kinds of things, yeah. But so anyways,
Yeah. You don't understand how nice it is when an airport offers free Wi-Fi. Trust me. Yeah. they're getting better, but yeah, there's still a few.
Yeah, that's like my dream, because you know how much I love airplanes and I love airports. Like, I think it's so awesome because I missed out that chunk of my life where I didn't fly. So
yeah,
like, I would eat dinner
to do it. Yeah,
if I could go through like security, I'd eat dinner, because every time we fly to Florida, we always eat dinner at the airport, and that's like a big deal because we sit on the window and watch planes come in and go out at the. I think we have a Chevy. So is that what it is? It's chilly. No, it's a Chili's.
It's Chili's.
Yeah, it's so good. Yeah. Anyway, you probably shouldn't eat Chili's before you get on an airplane, just because I always get fajitas. But there's a
pasta house in the airport, Mike, and that's where I go.
There is. Anyway, you gotta fly dangerously. You know what? Eat some fajitas and then hop on a 3-hour nonstop. Anyway, okay. So the Night of Pop Century, I like that idea. To be honest, I know you're not on the monorail. You're trying to save time, but it's not that much time, and you're going to spend your time in the parks. You know, you're going to maximize that time. And I think for a 7-year-old, Pop Century is perfect, you know, and you're not wasting money. You're being, you know, you're spending money where it needs to be in the Magic Kingdom. So I would stay there. Okay. So let's talk about this. They're going to be there on, does it say the day? Because they're there Princess Weekend. So what I would say is they're asking about the Magic Kingdom not getting there till 10 a.m. So, Ricky, and I'm not joking about this, but I think this is about the time a lot of times you get there, you know, because I'm a rope dropper and we get there early and maximize our time. But if you're not somebody who's there in front of the crowds, especially considering it's a morning extra Magic Hour day, how would you navigate the Magic Kingdom? Because it's not like you have a week. You know, they have one day and it's the daughter's birthday.
Okay. So my tip is going to be, make sure you have your fast passes in order. So get your three fast passes that you really want to do, and make them for the earlier part of the day. And then you can play then what I call the fast pass game, which after you use your first three, then you can start making your fourth rolling fast pass. So I do this all the time, especially at the Magic Kingdom. So I usually get the first three that I really, you know, really want to do. Usually there are three headliners. And I'll get them done the first like 3 hours that I possibly can. And then I will just start going through my Disney experience, looking at fast passes, seeing what's next up that I can make the next fast pass for, making that fast pass. And sometimes you can play with it. You know, you can make that fast pass, and then if it's not or as early as you maybe would like it, you can try to see if you can get it a little bit earlier and you know, just mess with it. Don't take the time that it's giving you as the final time, you know, like you can always see if there's a time that's a little faster. So that's my best tip if you only have one day to do the Magic Kingdom. And that's what I do all the time. So, yeah.
And remember, we suggest that, okay, so once you go through the touch points with your you know, and you've exhausted your third pre-made fast pass, and then continuing through the day as you make your future ones, as soon as you hit that touch point, while you're waiting in the 5 to 10 minute line to get loaded under the vehicle, that's when you schedule your next one. That way you're using that time wisely. And while you're on the attraction, you're basically standing in line for your next one.
Correct.
And your travel time too. So don't wait till you get off. That's like 20 minutes wasted. And that can save you an hour at least in a day.
It absolutely can. And you know, that's the best. That's a really good tip, and something that I utilize too, is as soon as I use that last fast pass and then I'm on that fourth rolling fast pass, I'm going, where's my next one? So it's the best tip I have.
Pam, anything else for the 7th birthday? She's going to have a great birthday. It's going to be amazing.
Oh,
I was absolutely going to say go keep the reservation at Pop,
because
I think we'll all be happy there. Yeah. And it's really not that far from the Magic Kingdom. Take the bus transportation and you'll be let off right there at the Magic Kingdom, you know, right at the entrance to the Magic Kingdom. So that's a big plus too. I agree. And you'll have a great time there. To celebrate the birthday, make sure you stop and get a birthday button.
Mm-hmm.
Because then all the cast members and fellow guests in the park will know that you're celebrating a birthday. Mm-hmm. And make sure if you make any advanced dining reservations to go ahead and let them know when you're making the reservation that it's someone's birthday.
And I would keep that. I mean, as long as you don't have any, you know, reason that you would say, hey, I don't want to do this anymore, I would keep the fireworks reserved, you know, dessert party. I mean, that's just me.
You have to wait. You have to get a spot to be in the, you know, in the hub early anyway.
Right.
So you might as well.
You might as well just keep it. I mean, and then you get dessert out of the deal. Hello. That sounds awesome.
You know, think about that. It's like, you know, it's like the time you have the cake on your birthday. You know, that night you have the candles, you have the cake. I mean, that's a dessert party. Basically, that's your, you know, your cake and ice cream.
That's right.
I like it. A great deal, man. I wish I'd had a 7th birthday like that. I think mine was at the skating rink. But, hey, what can you do? That's what you do when you're in St. Louis. So, anyway, Tim's got our next questions. Questions about horseback riding at Tri-Circle D Ranch. Greetings, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. We're heading to the world for a long weekend, November 10th through the 14th. It's a good thing they have the room now, because I can tell you, that weekend, good luck finding a room. They're not there, because I've been looking for guests. My youngest has recently taken up English horseback riding and is loving it. We need to hook this family up with Aaron. Aaron, I think, does the English horseback. Aaron Tessel. Yeah. Is that what it's called? I don't know. She has, like, the nice outfit, and she rides the horses in the shows, so I guess that's what it is.
Yeah.
We decided to sign up for a horseback ride at the Tri-Circle D Ranch on Friday afternoon. I have a few questions. Number one, our ride time is at 2:30 p.m. on a Friday. How much time should we allow to get there from Coronado Springs or Animal Kingdom, as we'll be there in the morning? How early should we get there? Okay, so that's question number one. Here's what I'm going to throw out to that one. But again, take this. I'm different than most people. I'd rather be 2 hours early than 5 minutes late. That's me. I'm the first one there because I never want to be late. So if it's 2:30, I would tell myself in my mind, okay, it's a 2 o'clock appointment, just because you're buffering in 30 minutes. If you're coming from Coronado Springs, I would leave no later than 1:30 and go to the Magic Kingdom and then catch a boat over to Fort Wilderness is what I would do. Same thing from Animal Kingdom. Now, remember, if you're in Animal Kingdom and you're back in Africa, I think this is the, like, when, and I love my wife, okay, but when we're trying to get from place to place at Walt Disney World, I think she considers, like, okay, we need, like, right now we're by the bus. No, we're miles from the bus when you're in Africa at Animal Kingdom, and then the bus might be 20 minutes or 30 minutes to get to you, and then you got the travel time. You have to build in so much buffer time because you don't know, because there could be the time where you wait 30 minutes for the bus. It takes 30 minutes to walk from Africa to the bus stop. You know, it seems like, oh man, we're leaving at 11 o'clock to get to Tri-Circle D at 2:30, but it's not that crazy. But build in that extra time, you know, always go long on how long it's going to take you to wait for a bus to get there. So I would say leave Coronado by 1:30 at the latest, probably 1:15 or even 1 o'clock. Same for Animal Kingdom. So Ricky, anything else? We'll get to the other two questions. Kind of want to drag this out, but
no, yeah, I think that's probably good timing. Yeah, I think you're good. You're spot on there.
All right. Number two, I've heard someone mention that the horses that work in the parks are housed here. If so, are there any tours of the stables or blacksmith shops? Any other don't miss things to see there? All right, Pam, any suggestions for just, they're going to be over at Fort Wilderness and it's just reopened from the hurricane. So should be, you know, tidied up and cleaned up, but anything not to miss over there? Tours, anything like that?
So there's not really a tour of the stables, but what I would do is go ahead and go there. You can see them, and they're big, beautiful horses. You know, a lot of the horses there in the stables are Percherons or Belgiums, and they are huge horses, but they're beautiful, and they have lovely stalls. I'll just speak from a girl whose mom has horses that we're all very jealous of those stalls when we get to see them. So they're living in the lap of luxury, I will say, over there. But anyways, I strike up a conversation if you see any cast members around. They're always so happy to discuss things with you and tell you a little bit more about the horses. Like, maybe so-and-so is a bit of a pain in the butt, and this one really likes sugar cubes or whatever, you know, but they'll give you a little inside information, and it's good to just be able to kind of see how that all operates. I think that, you know, I've heard cast members tell me that the horses have a very strict policy in terms of how long they can be on stage, especially when it's warm out. Ask someone about the special horseshoes that they get to wear there in the Magic Kingdom, because they're on the asphalt and the other hard surfaces all day. But it's a really cool operation. So enjoy.
That's awesome. All right. His third question is that the horseback ride is 45 minutes, so we're wrapping up around 3:30 or so. Any recommendations on grabbing an early dinner somewhere over near camp or Fort Wilderness? Thanks so much for the show and for your awesome support of Give Kids the World. Tim's from Dallas, Texas. He says, just down the road from Pittsburgh. Just take I-70 to 71 to 65 to 40 to 30. When it looks like you're in Frontierland, you're almost there. I love it. That's awesome. So now we have the directions. Just don't have the north or south. I guess it'd be mostly east and north. I would take it. Okay, so they're getting done about 3:30. You know what? I think we're all going to agree. You got to go with Trail's End on this one. I mean, you got to go all in. Or, you know, maybe even if you want to make it special and make it an event, go to Hoop Dee Doo, you know, wrap up the country day, you know, with horseback riding and just get into the whole thing. But I wouldn't leave Fort Wilderness. Two great opportunities to eat. So, Ricky, any other suggestions? I mean, you also have Wilderness Lodge, you know, hop, skip, and a jump away.
True. And you do have, you know, Whispering Canyon, which is a lot of fun to, you know, participate in all the activities that go on over there. And they have a really good food, too. So, I do love Trail's End. It's so yummy.
Oh, man. So. I wish I was there right now. That's so good. Give me some strawberry shortcake for dessert. Ooh, so good. So all right, good. Let's get to Lauren's question. She says, Mike, Pam, and Ricky, good afternoon. Thanks so much for answering my last two questions. Thanks for all the help. I have a few more for y'all. First of all, my husband and I are taking our 7-year-old niece, Kennedy. Shout out, Kennedy. I know you listen to the show. On her first trip to Walt Disney World in January, staying at Saratoga Springs. We're flying down from Dallas to Orlando. We're big in Dallas. Go Cowboys. Any tips on traveling with a child? This will be her first plane ride, and I'm not sure what to expect. Any specific documents, like a birth certificate, note from her dad, who's her brother, or the writer's brother, etc., should I bring to make things simpler since she isn't our child? Any tips on things to do while we're in the airport or on the airplane? Okay, so let's stop there. She's got two other quick questions. So, Pam, let me ask you this one. Obviously, you're going to be better at this one than Ricky. So, traveling with a child, but specifically, you know, when it's not your kid, is there anything to think about when you're taking, like, a niece or a nephew or, you know, or somebody, you know, a friend of the family? What do you got to think about?
Yeah, I absolutely would go ahead and travel with a note from the parents that is, notarized note from the parents, not only authorizing your ability to take the child out of state, but also to make medical decisions if something were to happen in the parent's absence. It is something that you may never need. But I would absolutely do it before, just to make sure. You want to have that in your pocket. The last thing you want to be doing is, in the case of an emergency or a need, that you're looking around, scrambling, trying to get this. So try to make sure that you go ahead and get that note.
And as far as the airport, because, I mean, there's a lot of waiting in an airport and on the airplane, you know, I would say electronics, you know, I don't like kids being plugged in all the time, but electronics can bail you out if you have a long wait, you know, like an iPad or something.
I will say we do have a fantastic article going live on the Mouse for Less this week about different things that you can do with little ones on long plane rides, long car rides. So.
Look at that. It's like we saw this email, like you were in my email or something. Yeah. I said, no wonder. I'm telling the, you're just like the, I don't know, the NSA or something. You're like, on my email before they are. Anyway.
Yes.
See, second, our last night there, we're planning on going to the studios for a half day. I wanted a dining suggestion for that evening. The night before, we have an ADR at Geico and plan on doing some Animal Kingdom Lodge exploring after dinner. I was debating on going to another resort for dinner or Disney Springs. I know she will probably enjoy the Magic Kingdom the most of all the parks, so I'm not opposed to going back there for dinner and to watch Happily Ever After again. What would you suggest for a 7-year-old's first, but not last, visit? All right, and she's got one more question. So, Ricky, what would you say? They're going to be at the studios doing a half day. But they can hop to Disney Springs, they can go to another resort, or they can dine at the Magic Kingdom. 7-year-old girl. Remember, we're taking care of the 7-year-old. This is a 7-year-old.
I guess
show.
So. And you know what I think is going to be so much fun for a 7-year-old is to go to 50s Primetime and see, you know, the adults get picked on. I think that that's so much fun. So.
That is fun.
So you've got food that's, you know, relatively comfortable for kids, I think, and everyone, because the food is delicious. It's like mom's home cooking. And, you know, it's always fun when, you know, you get to see members of your family get picked on and having to, you know, hand out all the plates and napkins and maybe eating their green beans or, you know, whatever. So I think that's a good call.
All right, so Pam, any other suggestions? Because they're open to, you know, if they're staying at the studios, that's a good idea. Even sci-fi might be an option because it's very, you know, out of this world for 7-year-olds. You know, most kids haven't ever seen a drive-in. But they said they can go to Disney Springs, they can go to Magic Kingdom, they can go to any resort. So anything that we're not thinking of, something off the radar?
So I would say, you know, there's some great choices in Disney Springs. You know, I love to say, you know, go to one of the restaurants there because there's so many great choices, but so many kids really love T-Rex. And this really is dependent upon the child, but go ahead and look.
Yeah, not me.
Yeah. Right. Look that restaurant up and see if it's appealing. That may be a good choice. There's, you know, other good, good things to see there. But the other thing I may want to consider is if you're staying in Hollywood Studios, you may want to consider the Fantasmic dining package, because it saves you some time and you can see Fantasmic. And in addition to being able to do that at Hollywood and Vine, Mama Melrose actually has a lot of kid-friendly options, and it has some good adult-friendly options too. So that may be something that you want to consider as well.
Good stuff. And yeah, that's good. All right. And the last question, I lost my place. I lost my train of thought.
Obviously, we surprised
that we gave good answers. You're like, actually seemed pretty good.
Maybe we're a podcast that knows what we're talking about.
That's it. Yeah. That's what the chat room does to you. You get involved in checking out the comments. All right. Third, where do you think is the best place to watch Happily Ever After? With the new Castle projections, I'm curious how this will change the viewing dynamics. Thank you for everything y'all do, and go Rangers. And Lauren is down in Denton, Texas. All right, Pam, you're the expert on Happily Ever After, seen it quite a few times already. So where would you say, like, optimal? You're going to plan the night. You're going to make sure this is a thing. Where are you going to stand?
I'm going to still be in the hub or back a little bit from the hub. I still think that the first time you see any of the Magic Kingdom fireworks shows, and Happily Ever After is no exception, the hub can't be beat, because you not only get to see that beautiful backdrop of the fireworks, you know, behind Cinderella's castle, but then you also get a straight on view of the projections, and that is always going to be your best view of these. You know, they've opened up the hub a little bit, given everyone a little bit more elbow room, but you're still going to be very close to your neighbors, and you're going to wait a little bit. So get to know them, bring a snack, bring a drink, and be friendly, yes, because you'll be with those folks for a while. So don't be that guy holding up an iPad.
No.
Don't be Grumpus. That's all I got to say. Don't be Grumpus. Anyway, so real quick, a question from the chat. Holly's asking how long the boat ride is from Wilderness Lodge to the Magic Kingdom. Now, you can wait. Let me just, there's two tiers to this. Again, it's not just the boat ride. You may wait up to 20 to 30 minutes for that boat to come to the pier. Then the boat ride itself, I would say, is 15 minutes, I think, ish.
Yeah, that seems about right.
Depending on
that's
the
exactly
wind.
Exactly right.
If you're going into the wind, with the wind, it's maybe 14 to 16. No, I don't know. It's around 15. Just plan 15. All right, let's get to the last question of the day, and it comes from Kim. The title of the email is Help, Totally Overwhelmed. Well, welcome to my world. That's called every day for me, but let's go.
Right?
Try to help you. It says, hi, guys. I've been listening to your podcast nonstop since I have found it. Okay, take a breath, grab some dinner, and we'll be here.
It's okay.
We've been here for almost 10 years. We'll still be here. We are from Canada, and we'll be taking our first family trip to Walt Disney World March 11th through the 17th of 2018. I know it'll be busy. I'm trying to plan, but I'm also so completely overwhelmed, and I feel like I'm going to fail at this trip planning thing. I really don't want to do that. Okay, before we get into the details, Pam,
wait,
talk her,
yes,
talk Kim down, because you're a professional.
Yes,
at this.
Please,
you're like
do.
A therapist.
Please talk her
talk
down.
Her down.
There is, I mean, look, there's no way you can mess this up. First of all, you're going to be on vacation. So let's just say a bad day at the office is, you know, no, a bad day on vacation is better than a good day at the office, is that, you know, they always say. So just remember that. And don't put, one of the things I always tell people is don't stress.
Yes.
There are just some steps that we can walk you through to help you plan this. Pick your dates, pick your resort, pick your package, then make your dining arrangements, and then move forward from that point on. But guess what? If you miss any one of those things, it's still okay. You don't have to eat in the perfect place. You don't have to have the perfect itinerary. You don't have to do anything other than go and hope that you're going to have a good time, and don't let anything impact your ability to recover. We had just had this discussion not too long ago on the Mouse for Less about, you know, the tips that you would give someone on their, you know, when they're going to Disney. And one of the tips I gave is don't let anything negative impact your vacation. I've seen a vacation ruined more often by people being like, oh, this one tiny thing happened. That's it. I'm mad the rest of my vacation. I've seen it ruin a vacation. Don't let that happen. Just go and enjoy the magic.
Yeah, so. You see these six gray hairs that I have here? Like, I only have like five or six of them because I'm not gray. But those are for my guests. I get those for you, so you don't have to struggle. Anyway, that's how it works.
Wow.
That's my job.
First of all, I don't know that that's a compliment, dear.
I'm just saying. Anyway, let's finish the email. My kids are 6 and 3. Yeah. Our first and last days will be easy days, and we're just going to hang out at the pool, take a boat ride, ride the monorail, and walk over to Art of Animation to check out the, you know, free stuff. But yeah. The 5 days in between, I'm lost. First of all, it's a great plan. First and last days, pool days, you're boom, that's vacation. All right. But the 5 days in between, I'm lost. I'm lost with fast passes. Do I use them in the morning, then head back to the room after lunch for naps and go back to the park? No park hoppers, so they're not using park hoppers. And what do we do to take it easy? What about with Magic Kingdom? We do plan on doing Magic Kingdom for 2 days. Do we keep fast passes for the afternoon, as there will be there for rope drop? We're early risers. Should we miss Hollywood Studios this trip and add another Animal Kingdom day? Ah, please help. Thank you, Kim. And she's up in Stony Creek, Ontario. All right, so let's break this down. So I like your bookending of relaxing, pool time, you're paying for the hotel. Good stuff. That's perfect. Okay, so the middle days, the 5 days, so they're there for seven. My best advice, and it's changed. I used to make my fast passes at the end of the day. I might do kind of a combination of both in this situation. I like using them in the morning sometimes, and then I do, especially, you know, March, it can be hot, especially if you're from Canada, because, you know, it's probably not warmed up as quickly there as it has in Florida by mid-March. I would go in the morning, rope drop, your early morning folks, great time to be there, beat the crowds, use those fast passes, say starting at like 11 to maybe 11, 12, and 1. Once you've exhausted those fast passes, go back, swim, take naps, and go back to that same park. You don't have park hoppers, but going back in the afternoon gives you enough of a break that going back in the evening, even to the same park, kind of gives you a different feel. It does. It's not so monotonous. It's not such a long day. So I would definitely do that almost every day. But you may do a night where you do, you know, evening fast passes and just go in the morning. And then once the lines start getting long, hop out of there. And then know coming back that night, you have three experiences that you don't have to wait in line for. You're setting yourself up for success. Have dinner in that, either in that park that you're going to be at that evening, or think about an adjacent resort. So if you're going to be at the Magic Kingdom, think about having dinner at Kona or at Chef Mickey's or the Wave, you know, or something like that, you know, where you're in the neighborhood. And take advantage of that. So that's the best way I go about it. It opens up so many more options for dining. And the fast passes, like Pam said, they're not going to be the perfect fast passes. But maybe, you know, if you want to do stuff in the evening, book them for the evening because you're early risers. Once the lines get too long, go back to your hotel and swim and have a good time. So, Ricky, anything to add to this?
Yes, I was going to say if they do the, you know, go early in the morning, then have their three fast passes for, you know, around 11, 12, 1, that kind of thing. Make sure if you're going to leave the park for, you know, a break or whatever, kind of do the tip that I was suggesting earlier. Make sure you make a fast pass for when you're kind of tentatively planning to be back at the park. Now, again, I say that tentatively because I know I make the, you know, mistake all the time of, yeah, I'm going to make my fast pass. It's mostly for me in the morning, I will say. I'm going to, because I don't usually leave in the afternoon, but I'm going to make my fast pass for, you know, 11, 12, and 1, like that. And then I won't get to the park until, you know, 1. So I'll have to make the scramble of, you know, fixing it. But other than that, I would absolutely just tentatively make your fast pass. And again, like I said, you can change that fast pass. So if you see, oh, hey, I'm not going to be at the park this early, you know, if you see earlier in the time while you're away, we're not going to make it by this time. Go back and readjust your fast pass time. You know, the earlier you do it, the better if you know, hey, we're not going to make it. So because then as the day goes on, obviously you lose fast pass availability. So make that, you know, fourth rolling fast pass as early as possible before you leave the park.
Yeah, I mean, it's a trade-off because I love going to the park in the evening, especially if I'm breaking up the day by leaving and going back for a midday break. I love going into that evening knowing I got three experiences with my fast passes. Now, what you're trading off there is you can't do the rolling fast pass because obviously they're going to all be gone. But if you do the morning ones, you know, you can, you kind of got to take what's left over. And we're going to kind of talk about this on Friday a little bit as far as, you know, you're not going to be doing, you know, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train guaranteed that night, or Space Mountain maybe guaranteed that night, where you can do that. But everything's a trade-off, so I say mix and match. Pam, any final thoughts for this one?
And I was just going to say, you know, there's a little discussion about what parks to do more than once. Should you skip a park altogether, blah, blah, blah. And I say, you know, in your vacation, if you have the days, spend at least one day at each park. You never know what's going to be your favorite thing, or if you're an experienced Disney traveler, your favorite thing that trip. There are new things that happen all the time. And I just think that if you skip a park, you may miss your favorite thing. What was going to be your favorite thing? And you don't want to miss. your favorite thing. So,
You know, Animal Kingdom has become one of our favorite parks, especially at night. And I couldn't have said that a few years ago. So, you know, and I'm obviously we've been going for a long time and now it's one of my favorites. So, you know. It changes. Things change.
Changes. All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's podcast. Thanks so much for hanging in there with us today and for the great questions. Send those in to mike@brguestpodcast.com. We'll answer those as soon as we can. Don't forget, today's show is brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. Ricky, what are we reading about on Theme Park News, Disney Edition on this wonderful Wednesday?
Well, we are going to be learning about the fact that the Epcot International Festival of the Arts will once again be returning for 2018. This year, it will take place from January 12th through February 19th, and the festival will take place for 7 days a week, which, unlike last year, it only took place Friday through Monday. So they've expanded it to all 7 days. However, the special entertainment offerings will only be available on the weekends. So, you know, like they had the concerts with Broadway stars. Those will only take place on the weekends, things like that. I'm sure some of the special talks and things like that that they had last year, those will only be on the weekends as well. But, you know, exciting that the Festival of the Arts is returning because it looked like the quintessential Epcot festival. You know what I'm saying? Like just totally Epcot last year. So, I'm hoping I can get it there this year, but I just don't know that it's going to work out again. But yeah, it looks awesome. So if you're going to be there that time, make sure you go to Epcot and experience it.
What if they invited us down for like an exhibit on the podcasting arts? That'd be pretty sweet.
That would be podcasting awesome. Arts. They're not going to, no, but that would be awesome. Yeah. Be awesome. Yeah. That is an art now, right?
It is. Well, it is now. We're going to make it a thing. Anyway, so great information right there. It's a free iOS app. It's going to run awesome. I don't know if it's going to have the augmented reality kit yet, but it may soon. I don't know. It could, but it's going to look awesome on that iPhone 8. And then when the iPhone 10 comes out here in a couple months, it'll look even more awesome. No bezels. So it'll be sweet. So check out Theme Park News Disney Edition free iOS app. Check it out today. Other great apps as well over at virtualmickey.com. Don't forget, we're also brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. So when it comes time for that next Disney adventure, and you know what? Now's the time. Now is the best time to get down to Walt Disney World. So check them out over at the Magic for Less. While you're there, fill out that free no obligation quote and let them know you heard about them here on the Crazy Be Our Guest podcast. They're over at themagicforless.com. Also, don't forget, when you're doing that online shopping, just say, hey, Alexa. I shouldn't have said that. Hey, blah, 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 as they say on a lot of shows, you know, order some toilet paper. But when you do that, you got to go through our link. So don't just That's yell right. it out. Actually, go to your computer, type in beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And when you do that, it really does help support the show. I know you probably don't think it makes a difference. It really, really does. So when you do your online shopping, please take that extra couple seconds, go through brguestpodcast.com/Amazon, and we get a little kickback, and it really does help support the bandwidth. As the show grows, and it has really grown over the last month, it really does help us pay for all of our new bandwidth, keep everything up and running for all of our new listeners, and we're so glad you're here with us. Don't forget, you can follow the show on Instagram and Twitter @BeOurGuestMike and a great Facebook page at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here. Let you get on with your Wednesday. We'll be back again on Friday talking about where to hang those fast passes. Should you use it on this? Some people use their fast pass for that. Why would you do that? You know, we're going to have a debate. You know, no, that's the best use ever. Peter Pan, you know, do you use it? Yeah, you use it. No. Some people say, no, yeah, you do. It's a 3-minute ride. I don't care. It's a 50 million minute wait. Right? So that's the kind of discussions you're going to be hearing on Friday. So hopefully you'll join us for that. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.